God inhabited your praise. What a wonderful thing to know that. He doesn't inhabit the Muslim's prayer or the Buddhist prayer, but he does yours. So this is a great thing. If you're suffering from any kind of depression this morning, God's word says to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So if you have any kind of depression, that's the remedy for it. It didn't say it would be easy. He said that's what to do for it. You know those scarves that the ladies wear the last couple of years? They put them over and they twist them once, put them back on again. They kind of flow around their neck. I think those are so beautiful. And when I thought of this garment of praise, I thought of that. Makes that person look better. So when you praise God, get rid of your depression, you'll look better in His eyes, even though He loves you all the more, even now. So half of you, I'm sure, need to repent this morning of thinking, when you heard that I was going to speak, that you said I knew I should have went to the beach. I worked in construction for a few years and then did maintenance as a superintendent over at George Fax for quite a few years. And I wanted to just make a little point. Construction is when you take raw materials and beat them or transform them into something new and beautiful or useful, right? That usually takes about a year to build a nice big building like this or the library, whatever. It takes about a year to do that. And then the following 60 years or however long it lasts, you do maintenance on that building. You can't avoid it. That's what happens. You enjoy building it for a year, and then from then on, 50 times more, you do maintenance.
Yeah,
God has put this congregation together a few years ago, and now we do maintenance on it all the time. I wanted to make a little adjustment in the... I'll start with Irene's request over here. I was over at, I'll begin from the very beginning, 12:30 at night on about a week ago, Thursday night, I think it was. Got the telephone rings. Here's a distraught man on the other end of it saying, "She is dead. Please come over." Well, we knew who I was talking to and what he meant. But he was so distraught, he could hardly talk. But he asked me and my son to come over there. So we did. We hopped in the car, drove down there. By the time we got 6 miles, the two sheriffs were there. And this fellow could hardly talk because of his girlfriend. Jesus died for people who live that way. He didn't die for good people. He died for sinners like that. So you don't judge that person, just whatever's wrong. You know that they're a sinner, and so you try to console them by whatever you can say.
Amen.
The two sheriff's deputies are there, and so that we got acquainted a little bit, and they realized we were peaceful. So what? Yeah, they didn't notice I was carrying two guns there. So. The point I'm making, as the same as I tried to adjust the congregation a little bit this morning, God adjusted me at that time. And He said, "Larry, here's what I want you to say. You don't have to say anything spiritual. Just go and console that brother." Not a Christian brother, but a brother as a man. So I did just that. Well, I was there for probably an hour or so, and finally the chaplain came. To be right honest with you, I was quite disappointed. Because he didn't say one thing that would really help this fellow. Not a thing. He was hired by the county, so he was there. Maybe that was just his job to be there, but and I'm sure it was. Nevertheless, I was quite disappointed in his spiritual applications. He was there for an hour or so, and he never did ever say anything good. I called him and the brother who was having a problem, whose girlfriend just died, and my son, and we all gathered together and we prayed. Finally, I gave a tract, not to the guy whose girlfriend just died, but to the chaplain. one of my little Bibles. You know the last thing he said to me? "Thank you for that little Bible." So maybe he needed it worse than the guy I was talking to, whose girlfriend just died. Nevertheless, God adjusts you, and you might get a call at midnight. By the way, it was the coroner finally got there, the chaplain got there, and the van to come and take the body away finally got there too. So it was 3 o'clock in the morning time we got home. However, during that time, I got acquainted with one of the deputies there, and I'm taking a lot of time. One of the deputies there told me who he was. I said, "Well, I know that name. Is your dad?" "Yep." Well, I got acquainted really good then because I knew him from working with him for many years at Tektronix. But that kind of broke the ice there, and so we relaxed there quite a bit. At that time, then, the call came in that Irene was speaking of, and this deputy jumped in his car and zoomed out of there and had to go clear over there to Turk Road all the way from Gales Creek. Well, that's quite a ways to go. So anyhow, I hope he got there safely, and he probably did. He must have. Anyhow, God adjusts your jaw when he needs to. Okay? I have an epiphany that came to me. This is a different subject completely. So I switched over. About a month ago, I have kind of a hard time sometimes looking at the stars. You'll think that's pretty weird, but not that they're not beautiful. And I was just out there last night looking in. What a marvelous thing to look up in this clear sky and see all the stars up there. And the reason it bothers me is because when I begin to think about the magnitude of the universe, I want you all to look over at that wall over there for a minute. Clear down the hall, that big wall. On the other side of that wall is a library. Other side of that is a sawmill. The other side of that is some farmers' fields and clear on to Portland. This way, if you look over here, we have a wall, of course. Can't see through that. Then we have a street, then a parking lot, then some more farmers' fields. The Coast Range in front of the vast ocean. If you could climb a tower and look down and see Larry, you couldn't even see him down there. He's a speck. Tiny nothing. Kind of bothers me to think of the universe and then in reading scripture and say, who is man that God is mindful of him? Do you ever think of yourself as being small or not counting? And yet, while I was thinking of this, I have a little spot out in the woods I go and pray, sitting out there communing with God. And he said, "Yeah, you know, Larry, I have lots of worlds." And the song came to me, How Great Thou Art. Consider all the worlds thy hands have made. Yeah, there probably are a lot of worlds out there. But then God said, as if he just spoke to me and said, but as for you, here on earth, here's my plan for you. You needn't worry about anything. So the next time you hear of a UFO or any of the aliens, whatever it might be, or a light year, can you comprehend a light year? I can't. And yet there's many light years to here and there in the universe. It sort of bothered me to think of being so small, and yet God cared enough to send Jesus for me. I'm going to switch gears again. If I can find my tool bag here. Did somebody move that?
I did. I know it's a paper bag. It's around the corner behind the wall.
Oh, sure. Okay, I think I'll speak from back here. It's much easier. I don't have to look at any of you. Oh, hi, wall. How are you doing? Hi there, papers. Okay, today's sermon, you all know about this, some of you don't. Anybody remember, if you raise your hand, what I'm going to say about this? Hey, this is good. As a born-again Christian, you have something in common with this wrench. I own this wrench. It does whatever I want it to do. I can use it as a hammer. I can use it as a tool or make its jaw adjust. By turning this little knurled nut here, I can adjust this to fit any nut I come across. That is what you and I, as Christians, are supposed to do. We're supposed to be adjustable by God in every situation. If your friend dies, if a baby is choking, whatever it takes in your corner of the world, God needs to adjust your jaw to go and help that person, whatever that requires of you. Maybe it isn't speaking. Maybe it's running off to Beaverton to get whatever. Who knows what? He might adjust your accelerator foot or whatever, as well as your jaw or your brain. Okay, so it's important. If I don't use that wrench for a year or two, it rusts and won't adjust at all. So you need to make sure that your jaw, your mind, your heart is adjustable and ready to do whatever God wants it to, wants you to do for Him. Your testimony, I would like someone to get up and give a 30-second testimony now.
God has healed me from cancer.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? More than 5 seconds? Absolutely. That's really good. Did you hear what she said? She said God gave her all the tools that He has, the task that He sets before you. He gives you everything you need to do that. Very good. One more testimony, really quick. You're not quick enough.
This week, God has arranged all the details to work all the good things that He is planning to do, even though I am not sure what that is going to entail.
Very good. God goes ahead of us to do what we can't do.
Yes.
Karen Garish, say hello. Karen, I'm sorry, I called you by the wrong name. Karen, say amen.
Amen.
All of you?
Amen.
Good, you're doing better, but now practice this, okay? The sermon will be rather short this morning, but we're going to turn to the book of 2 Timothy now. See if I can follow my notes and what I want to say. And then we're going to do one more tiny little thing. And I want you to practice this one also. One of you parishioners asked me this morning, what is your sermon about? And I said, well, it's about you. They were a little shocked. And to be truthful, today's scripture reading, if you're following along in our schedule of keeping up with reading through the New Testament this year, this portion of scripture is about you. So in order to do that, and I like going and doing object lessons out at the school out there because I know that that makes it very personal for those children out there. And they remember. Whenever you can personalize a passage of scripture, it sinks into your head a little bit more. Now, I guess ever since I went into the army and went to the dull chapels they had, but they did do something I liked. And that was responsive reading. You know, where I say something and you respond back again. Well, we're going to practice doing that here, and I want you to be a part of this service and this sermon. I want you to be a part of it really closely. So, in place of the word you or we or he, in this portion of Scripture, I want you to repeat your first name every time I raise my hand. Practice. Doing better. It's like saying amen. It doesn't take you half an hour to figure out what you're supposed to do. Okay, one more time. Good. Now, for this tape, can't talk. On the tape, it will be hearing me say Larry, and I'll try to avoid that. If I don't say mine, don't feel like I'm cheating on you, okay? Because the last time I tried this, people were saying, well, we found ourselves saying Larry. Well, don't do that. Well, that's not my intention this morning. I want you to realize by saying your own name, it fits this scripture, and I want you to be a part of that. So beginning in 2 Timothy, well, let's go back to 1 Timothy and say what Skip said as he left us last time. It says, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I'm persuaded. I hope you are too. So our weekly reading for this week was 2 Timothy in the second chapter. So it begins with, let's do that again. Therefore, my son or daughter, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus and the things that has heard from me among many witnesses. And then the third verse, therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You'll probably grow weary of saying your name, but it's very important to me that you do that. And then you take part, okay? Please don't shy back. Don't. Whoever is sitting beside you, if they don't hear you say your name, then you need to elbow them. I want you to participate, and I want you to feel that you are part of what this God's Word says to you today. In the second chapter, in verse 7, says, consider what I say, and may the Lord give understanding in all things. Moving down to verse 15, it says, be diligent to present yourself approved of God, a worker who needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you've come here for a few months and heard Skip talk about everything that he teaches out of this Bible, you, as a born-again Christian, are well-equipped to rightly divide the word of truth. Whether it's to a family you're just getting acquainted with that had a child still in the hospital, whether it's you going to someone who just passed away, whatever it is, whatever God calls you to do, you have that chance to right there and right then to rightly divide the word of truth. Verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands having this seal. The Lord knows, and you are His. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Verse 21, therefore, if cleanses himself from the latter, which they were talking about, a vessel of dishonor, if you ask forgiveness and cleanse yourself, then you will be able to be a vessel for honor. Sanctified means set apart for his use, and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Remember the armor that you put on in, was it Matthew that where Jesus said put on the armor of God? And your feet are shod with the gospel? Is that right? No. Your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel. That's what you're doing today. You're preparing to put on the armor. Your feet are, you're preparing the gospel in your heart to go out there and share it. Verse 22, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Chapter 3, verse 1, but know this, in the last days perilous times will come. Do you think that's now?
Yes.
I think it is. Chapter 3 and verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men, impostors, will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But must continue in the things which has learned and been assured of, knowing from whom learned them. chapter 16. Does anybody ever ask you or tell you they think the Bible is no more than a bunch of books put together by somebody just like any other book? And you should respond with verse 16. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's not a regular book. It's a living word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God, and in my Bible I've written down, that the man of God, the man of you, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Verse 3 of chapter 4 says, the time will come, and I have penciled in here, is here, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. And then important verse number 8 here says, finally, there is laid up for... One more time. Finally, there's laid up for you a crown of righteousness. Yeah, let's try that. Amen.
Amen.
Good. That's better. I'm glad you're just saying that. Wonderful. Which the Lord righteous judge will give to on that day, and not to only, but to all those who love his appearing. I forgot to mention this in the early on here before I started yakking. Saul was a terrorist. You remember reading about him before God got a hold of him? He was a terrorist. He left a whole trail of refugees to care for themselves, children, men and women, all kinds of terrible situations he left behind him, and he thought he was doing God a favor.
Yes, he did.
But he wasn't. We have a faction in our society today that thinks that very thing. They're killing, imprisoning, whatever it takes to beat down Christians, that's what they're doing. They're called ISIS. They are the terrorists of today. In chapter 9 and verse 3, we find where Saul was doing that very thing, jerking people to pieces, families apart, and God got his attention.
Yes, he did.
Okay? Now, would you say that this is the point where Saul was born again? It doesn't really do the same thing as we do. We ask Jesus to come into our heart. Jesus went into his heart without him asking. Nevertheless, before Saul was done with this episode of 3 days of being blind, he realized that he should be serving Jesus and not killing people and dragging them off to prison. From that time on, he went over to see Ananias, and Ananias was afraid to even talk to the guy because he was so terrible.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, Ananias had his jaw adjusted, and God said, here's what I want you to say to this fellow. And so right then and there, Saul became a Christian. From there on, he was fully devoted to telling whatever God asked him to say. And so God asked him to write some letters. We call them epistles, and we look at them all the time. And in the epistle of Titus, the very next book in the Bible in your reading schedule, I want you to realize that, of course, you already know this, Paul is dead already. Titus is dead already. This book is still alive and well, and God wanted to understand that it is a personal text to you today. So the text here says, Paul in the first verse, a bondservant of God, and then down in the fourth verse it says to, one more time. This book in the Bible was written to you. He calls Titus here and you a true son in our common faith. You realize today that in this congregation here today, you and I share a common faith. That's very important to know that these people that you're sitting beside here today believe the same way you do, are just as trustworthy as you, care to talk to God every day like you do. They want to be part of God like you do. They want Jesus to be part of their life just like you do. We have a common faith. In Titus, this first chapter, he goes on to tell what elders are supposed to do, and we sure won't cover that. But in the second chapter, he says, and there's kind of a title here of this chapter in my book, it says, the qualities of a sound church. So he didn't leave us out today. And I just love the scripture, and that's why I'm saying the things the way I'm saying them this morning, because it says, but as for, one more time, but as for, amen, but as for Larry, it simply says, speak these things. It tells us what we need to say. And so then for the next five verses there, he goes on to say, how you and I, in this body, are supposed to treat older men and women, younger men and women, children, bond servants, which you don't have any, but you have neighbors and friends. It tells us what we're supposed to do. I'm going to read for you now through several verses in the second chapter, beginning at verse 11. It says, and pay attention now, because you're going to be part of it. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to teaching that denying ungodliness and worldly lust should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for that he might redeem from every lawless deed and purify himself and his own people zealous for good works. That's where we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be trying to find out and want to go out there and do good things. Moving over now to chapter 3 and verse 4. And you'll be pleased to know I'm going to close with this passage. When the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which has done, but according to his mercy, he saved Larry through the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on Larry as abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Hallelujah. One more time on that hallelujah.
Amen.
Good, very good. This is a faithful saying and things I want to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain, here's that maintenance that we're supposed to do forever, good works. These things are good and profitable to men. And then he says, grace be with you all. Amen. Would you bow your head? There may be one here today who does not know Jesus Christ as Savior. Regardless of your age, your background, or anything about you, you need to receive Jesus Christ into your heart today if you want to go to heaven and spend eternity with God. If you would like to do that, I will remain in front here for a little while after the others are dismissed. If you'd like to come up, You don't have to join this church. You don't have to give your money. You don't have to do anything except ask Jesus Christ into your heart. If you would like that, then you can come forward after service. With that, all the people who agreed said, Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.